Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Okay. All right. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now these words. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, Who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying. He had seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name for Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes. His sight was restored. Then he got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, Is this not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? And Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But the plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so they might kill him. But the disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in the basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him forward to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it increase in numbers. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to speak to you for a little bit about Saul and having a changed heart. Now, in our call to worship, we had a prayer about changing our heart. And in our psalm, Psalm 51, the great psalm of King David, where he asked the Lord to give him a new heart and clean heart. Now, we met Saul before in the book of Acts. You may recall how Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, was mighty used of God and was brought before the high priest in Sanhedrin, accused of false charges. And he spoke to them with such confidence. They said his face like that of an angel. And they became angry and took him out and they stoned him to death. And Stephen, while he was being stoned, said, "Lord Jesus, hold on against them. And to your spirit I commit my hands." He looked up and the veil of heaven got pulled back. And he saw the Son of Man standing next to the Heavenly Father. And he died. Now the people who were stoning Stephen had laid their coats down at the feet of Saul. Now Saul was not an evil person. How do we know that? Because when we read his letters, he tells about how very plainly he was a Pharisee. He was a rule follower. He obeyed all the rules. He said, "I did things without guilt or remorse." So in Saul's mind, what he thought was going on was that there was this new cult going up in Jerusalem, this little Jesus cult. And these people were being deceived and following a false Messiah. And so he thought, "I'll take care of that." And they didn't have a First Amendment where you can just pick any religion you want. I mean, here in the States, you can be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Episcopalian. You can be Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist. You can be atheist, agnostic. Our problem is we've got a bunch of folks that are just none the above. They don't know. They haven't thought about it. They'll just say, "I'm spiritual." And you ask them what their theology is, don't have any. But Saul went before the high priest and said, "I want you to give me some arrest warrants. I want to go to Damascus up in Syria and extradite these Jewish people who are following this new cult of Jesus and bring them here for trial." And so the high priest wrote out some arrest warrants for men and women. And so Saul was on his way down the interstate to go up to Syria, to Damascus, to arrest some folks. He's going to extradite them. But then something happened. Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest some folks. The only problem was he got pulled over. They'd be like, "Amber Lee, you're going down to Florida, down to I-40. And I want you to see some blue lights because you're going too fast. You're getting pulled over. You hear that voice saying, 'Get out of your car, please.' I need to see your driver's license, proof of insurance, registration." Saul got pulled over. Now, he didn't see a blue light, but he saw a light shining like the afternoon sun flashing around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And so there's Saul staring up at this light, and he thought, "Who are you, Lord?" You know, now I'm sure he thought it was the Lord, but he was kind of confused. Like, "Well, what's up with this? I mean, who else but the Lord can pull you over while you're going down the interstate like this?" And then old Saul gets the shock of his life. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." "Do what? Jesus, I thought you were dead and gone. I thought they crucified you, and maybe your disciples got the body and hit somewhere and telling all these folks these lies." But he couldn't argue because there he was staring right at him. And Jesus said, "But get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." Oh, this is kind of like when you're being held, you know, those old TV shows where somebody's been held ransom, right? Go down to the mall, you get the package, and you go find out what to do next. Meanwhile, the folks with Saul, if you will, in the same vehicle, were speechless. They heard a voice, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up, and he couldn't see anything. He was blind. And so they had to lead him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. I think he was fasting and praying and doing a lot of thinking. Now think about this. If you were Saul going up to Damascus to arrest followers of Jesus, the false Messiah, and then Jesus pulled you over and now you can't see, you'd be giving a lot of thought about what just happened, wouldn't you? How'd this happen? That doesn't make sense. Because I know when I read the book of Deuteronomy, it says, here is built on tree is cursed. I saw this Jesus, man. He was crucified. He was cursed. But then I saw him all his glory. What happened? And I think the answer was, he thought about, well, I read last week by Isaiah 53, about the Lord's suffering servant. And by the end of the psalm, it talks about how after he's been suffered, he will be exalted. Well, another person gets a little surprise visit. In Damascus, we have a guy named Ananias. Now, we talked about another Ananias a few weeks ago. He was the one who came to church, put the money down from Peter, and acted like he gave a big donation to the church when he hadn't. And then he dropped dead, remember, and the youth group had to come in and take him outside and bury him in the cemetery. And then a little while later, his wife came in, pulled the same stunt, and then she dropped dead, and the youth group had to take her out and bury her. But this Ananias was a good guy. The Lord said to him, Ananias. And he answered, here I am, Lord. Remember Isaiah? Here I am, Lord. Send me. And so the Lord said, I got a job for you. I want you to get up and go to the street called Straight, the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying. He has seen a vision of a man named Ananias that come in and lay hands on him so he might regain his sight. And Ananias said, now hold on, Lord. Hold on a second. That'd be like in our culture, you'd be praying and maybe the Lord said, I want you to go down Highway 411, the third house. There's a guy named Bin Laden. I want you to lay hands on him and pray for him. Or I want you to go down Highway 68, and there's a guy named Jeffrey Dahmer. I want you to lay hands on him and pray for him. Or Bowar Road, there's a house, and there's a guy named Saddam Hussein. I want you to lay hands and pray on him. Or maybe Highway 68, there's a guy named Timothy McVeigh. Go lay hands and pray on him. And you would think, well, Lord, I might want to lay hands on them, but I ain't going to be for praying. These are bad people. These are folks who went out and killed innocent people, took innocent lives. And Ananias, he was kind of like Moses. He argues with the Lord. So he says, hold on, Lord. And it's funny, cause, I mean, the Lord knows all, but it's funny how we tell the Lord these things, you know. Now Lord, I don't know if you knew this, but I did the background check. And this Saul guy. I mean, he was causing havoc in Jerusalem, arresting people. And now he's coming here to Damascus to get some more. And you want me to go down and pray for this guy? Are you sure you got the right person, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, I know I got the right person, Ananias. Go. For he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name for Gentiles and kings and for the people of Israel. In other words, a person that was your greatest enemy is now going to be my greatest asset. I want to send him to Jerusalem to preach to the Jewish people. And I want to send him all over Turkey and Europe planting churches. And then he says, I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Saul is going to have a rough life. He's going to be persecuted by Jews and Gentiles for preaching the name of Jesus. From time to time, he'll get locked up and thrown in jail or house arrest or a dungeon. And he'll be there and think, well, I can't do anything. Well, I got lost time. I'll write a letter. And several of those letters we call prison epistles are in our New Testament. And in the course of the end of his life, he'll tell his friend Timothy, now my time has come to be poured out like a drink offering. I fought the good fight. I ran a good race. I kept the faith. And now a crown of righteousness awaits me. Not only me, but all those who look forward to the Lord's coming. And then that's when, according to tradition, he was beheaded by the Romans for speaking the name of this Jesus. So Ananias leaves, finds a house. He goes to Saul, and he says, Brother Saul. Isn't that strange? Brother Saul, you know. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he lay hands on Saul and prayed for him. And immediately, the scales fell from my eyes. Now I can see. I once was blind, but now I see. And then he got up and was baptized. So here's an incident where one person received the Holy Spirit by getting the Holy Spirit first, and then they were baptized. And then he began eating again and gained his strength. And what did he do? Immediately, he went and proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And that got people all sorts of confused. Like, hold on a second. I thought this is the guy who's coming here to arrest all the Christians. Now he came to my synagogue Saturday morning and gave a speech about how Jesus is the Son of God, the true Messiah. No. And they said he increasingly became more powerful. After some time, some Jews plotted to kill him. And so what happened? The disciples snuck him out. They got to the wall there, booming the basket, and it's not the great escape. Booming the basket and lower him down. They won't go through the gate. He might get recognized at the police checkpoint there. But instead they booming the basket, snuck him across the wall there. And then he comes to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, nobody won't be near Saul. And I said, we've heard about this guy. We know about him. But Barnabas, the same Barnabas we mentioned earlier who was so generous, he took Saul before the apostles, and he told the apostles how he'd seen the Lord. And he went among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he argued with the Hellenists, I think it'd be the Greek Jews, and did so well that they try to kill him. And so the believers said, "We know we got to put you down in Caesarea. Put him in the eyewitness protection program. Get him out of town." So things cool off a little bit. And then verse 31 says, "Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up. Living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers." So we see how at first the church exploded, it got persecuted, and now in this verse, peace has been restored. The persecution has been turned off. And you'll see that throughout church history where persecution kind of comes in waves, off and on. Now what about us? Have you ever been pulled over by Jesus? Did he have a little talk with you? You know, we sang a song a little while ago, just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. Now, what did he tell you? Was it like Saul tell you that you were on the wrong path and they make a U-turn? Or maybe it was like with Ananias, when he told Ananias, I need you to pray for your enemy. What? You don't know what he... No, I know all about it. But he's my servant, my vessel. You need to pray for him. No. Saul was a changed man. When he started that road, he was getting ready to arrest Christians and haul them in Jerusalem for trial. When he got on the end of his journey, he was out going back to Jerusalem to make more disciples. It's amazing what the Lord can do in your life. Yeah. But notice in both these cases, it was the Lord Jesus who took the initiative. We don't often go looking for God. God comes looking for us. And the question is, what would we say? For Saul, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the more he learned about Jesus, the more he realized, "This is who I need to obey." When Ananias had his vision, he said, "Here I am, Lord." Now, he pushed back a little bit and said, "The Lord, are you sure about this?" And sometimes in our prayers, we might go, "I don't know," and ask for more confirmation. And that's okay. But the important thing is, after the Lord confirms it in our spirit, we need to get along with it. If we don't, we're disobedient. And so Ananias goes. And what he thought was might have been a crazy mission, what he didn't realize was he's about to set in motion the greatest missionary in church history, the Apostle Paul. So this morning, my question be for you is, what about you? Have you had a little talk with Jesus? Was it about becoming one of his followers? Or maybe he was talking to you about praying for someone who's your enemy who needs to become a follower. Sooner or later, we had to have that conversation with Jesus. And my hope is that all of us, when he calls on us, we'll be quiet and listen and ask questions if we have any. And then be quiet long enough for the response. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now in our church hymnal, we have one more foot-tapping song called "I Can Tell You the Time." Because you know Saul could tell you the time when he met Jesus. And that's on page 34, verses 1 through 3. Your church hymnal, page 34, "I Can Tell You the Time," verses 1 through 3.